Well, what great hope we have in that. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our first reading to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken out of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, "In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not." But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life." And he arose and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea, in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, "He shall be called a Nazarene." May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so the first section, I have that as verses 1 through 8. Who were these men that came from the east and then traveled back eastward? They're called Magi, or Magi, as we say it in English. The Magi, some people would say it that way. They were a priestly caste from Persia. who chose the kings of their country. And note here then that they come as men of state to pay homage to the new king. It is an interesting thing, and I think that Matthew would intend for us to see the contrast, because the Gentiles come from the east to worship the king. Herod and the people of Judea are greatly troubled, and Herod seeks to kill him. A little bit of a difference there in the response. How did these men know? Was there some direct revelation of God that came to the Magi and such that they should come looking for the king of the Jews? Well, perhaps they knew the prophecy of Balaam from Numbers 24:7. The star will rise out of the house of Jacob. Perhaps Daniel had interpreted that and taught them when Daniel was there in captivity under Darius, king of the Medes. And that tradition that Daniel had taught them had somehow survived among them those 400 or so or 500 years until now. It is quite possible that that's what we see, that they had indeed a light given to them by the prophet Daniel, and they cherished and nourished that light so that when Christ was born, they came to pay homage to him. At any rate, it seems that the people of God, albeit in captivity, did not lose their faith, but were faithful to their Bibles and spoke of their deliverance by their Messiah, their coming prince. And so the Magi knew. But now all of this hoopla makes Herod quite nervous. Let's remember that when some of our dear friends sing, "We three kings of Orient are," that there's not one thing in that sentence that's accurate. There weren't three, they weren't kings, and they weren't really from the Orient, because although we might describe the Orient as a very large tract of land, it's generally thought of as more Palestine than Persia. Anyway, in all of that, however, let us say this, that when they came into town, Josephus tells us, not so long after that, that they came with a procession that was fit for a king. They came with camels, with presents, with horses, even with an armed contingent. They came as dignitaries to pay homage to a dignitary with all of the honor and respect that was due to the king that they believed they were coming to honor. And so it would have been a paltry thing to come as three. They came as many. And yes, this did stir up Jerusalem, and it stirred up Herod. There's a competitor to my throne. There's also some historical record of a prophecy that the Pharisees had spoken to Herod about, that his offspring would reign beyond his days. Interesting to think about all of those dynamics working at that time and how they would have troubled the mind of Herod. And so he calls the scripture scholars of his day to see where Messiah should be born. And note that they were men of the book. They knew. They knew the prophecy of Micah 5:2. And do you hear in Matthew's gospel here all of this prophecy being brought to bear? Right? So we're going to hear about Jeremiah a little bit. We're going to hear from Isaiah several times throughout this prophecy. We're going to hear about from Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. And so Herod, being out for Herod, then knows where to look. And so he tells the wise men, "Please, when you are done and have found the child, come back and report to me. I desire to go and worship him as well." Not exactly. And so the great providence and extraordinary intervention on the part of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is quite evident throughout this chapter, as we see men being warned by dreams and angels being sent to them to instruct them and so on, all that our Lord Jesus Christ would be protected from the likes of Herod. Let us also see the great humiliation of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he came, and when he came, even as a boy, he was hunted and persecuted. Truly, John speaks wisely when he says, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." We might say, without speaking irreverently, that may have been an understatement. not only did they not receive him, they sought to slay him. So then, what did Herod do? Well, Herod did everything in his power to keep his authority rather than to yield to the Lord's Christ. Well, there's a good lesson there for us. There's a good, solid lesson for us that it is indeed possible for any of us that our desires would outstrip the commands of God and we would tenuously cleave to our desires rather than to his commands. Herod is just an example of this to us here. All right, so then note finally his deceit, Herod's deceit. The wise men were not fooled. They were warned of God not to return to Herod. And so notice that very few except ourselves are often fooled by our deceit, right? Very few except ourselves. All right, so verses 9 through 12 then is the second section. The Hebrew king refused Christ. He saw him as a threat, but the Magi worshipped him. This is the Christ of Old Testament prophecy that we saw above, but it is also he is also Messiah for all nations. And Matthew presents him as such when he presents the Magi coming to worship him. So note that the Magi were not three, right, but many more than that. They also did not arrive while Christ was in the manger, but in a house. You remember that? It says that they were in the house when they showed up, quite some time after he was born. And so we understand that the gold and frankincense and myrrh are royal gifts. Herod rejected him as king, but the Magi received him as such. And as for the star that went before them, much conjecture and theorizing has been given. I don't want to enter into any of that. There are some, rolling back of the astronomical clocks and, oh yeah, there was this star and blah, blah, blah. I don't want to get into all of that. Really what I want to talk about is that there was a particular faith that these Magi had. And so to the eyes of faith, like many things, it appeared to be that which they had heard. I don't know what they saw. I don't know what kind of star stood over the house where the young child was. I can't get there. I don't have enough information. But I do know that what they saw was informed by their faith and the prophecy of the Word of God that they had heard. I think as I read, 4 or 5 different commentaries on just that star the other day, I would commend to you the comments in John Peter Lang's commentary. I found them to be very, very helpful in this regard. Let us say here that while the nation and church of the Jews showed themselves indifferent, the signs of the heaven to these faithful foreigners was, like all the world around us, given to be an aid and not the foundation to our faith. They had heard the word from the captives. The Lord preserved that word through these many generations after the Jews returned to Canaan. And when the time came, the Spirit kindled that word in their hearts, such that the world around them was rightly understood as pointing them to the true light, which lightens every man who comes into the world. They came to worship the new king, and in so doing, they condemned those who ought to have received them as their divine Messiah, and ought to have known the signs of the times. Weren't they also rebuked a little bit later on by our Lord Jesus Christ? You can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot see the signs of the times. But to the eyes of faith, those signs were indeed bursting forth with information. And so finally, note that God warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. And so the Lord protected his Christ. So when they departed then, the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. So not only was there, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. So notice that we have also not just the Magi, but Joseph is the recipient of some supernatural revelation here. And yes, I did note, and I hope you did also, that it was the angel of the Lord that appeared to Joseph. Now, it's difficult to be dogmatic on such things as far as how you interpret that phrase. the angel of the Lord. You remember what the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus? He says, I'm the Son of Man who's on earth and in heaven. Okay, so this particular reference to the angel of the Lord, well, it might be, or it might not be, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who is the angel of the covenant that we see all through the Old Testament. It may be simply an angel of the Lord. It's hard to know for sure, but it is an interesting phrase to meditate on, to think about. We also see here that there are messianic prophecies that we would not otherwise recognize except that they are seen here in Matthew. The verse Hosea 11:1, which is quoted here, out of Egypt have I called my son. We wouldn't have known that as a messianic prophecy, except that Matthew, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, brings that to us. And so we do understand it as our Lord Jesus Christ was called to Egypt in a kind of recapitulative effect, so that he would be that one who has also come out of Egypt. Right? So there is this explanation of Old Testament prophecy. And what does that help us with? Well, it really helps us with our basic hermeneutic, which is what? Scripture interprets Scripture. That's our basic hermeneutic. All right, so then Herod, verse 16, true to form. It says that he was mocked of the wise men. He wasn't. The implication of the passage is that Herod believed he was mocked of the wise men because they didn't return to him and pay homage to him. And so he got his feelings hurt. And so he reacted in anger. And what did he do? Well, he slew all of the children 2 years old and under in the same geographical area where he thought Messiah would be. This is a bloodthirsty man. This is a man who will pull out every stop to get his will. The king, a prophesied king, men from the east coming to pay homage to him. Where will Messiah be born? He asked his scripture scholars. There was no doubt in Herod's mind who it was that he was trying to kill. Surely the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus are true when he says, even if one rises from the dead, they will not believe him. Prophecy upon prophecy, sign upon sign, and Herod seeks to kill the Messiah rather than to worship him. All right, so then verses 19 through the end of the chapter. Oh, one more thing here. I have found this a helpful passage from time to time when I sit with folks. There are times when things happen and we become sad. We're saddened by events. And it's not to say that sadness is wrong or incorrect. That's not true. There are times when sadness is quite appropriate. But notice what it says here when we're quoting from Jeremiah. Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. There does come a time when our sadness becomes willful. And while a particular amount or kind of sadness might be lawful, let us make sure in our sadness and grieving that we do not become, quote-unquote, inconsolable. Inconsolability is a product of faithlessness. As Christians, we never lose hope. All right, so then in verses 19 through the end, we have this very interesting phrase that he will be called a Nazarene and that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by the prophets. And if you've heard me speak on this before, you recognize or perhaps remember that no one prophet ever said he shall be a Nazarene. This is not a particular prophecy that is being mentioned here, but it is indeed an oblique reference to our Lord Jesus Christ being the netzer, the branch or the shoot, which is a different root from Nazarene, Nazar. It's a different word altogether. And it is perhaps, by Matthew here, a play on the similar sound And yet notice also that there is a similar meaning as well. The similar meaning is that those from Nazarene were small and despised. Remember? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? You remember that? And so those from Nazareth were small and despised as being backwater or backward or insignificant. And so we have then Jesus himself being identified with that shoot, that little branch. Not that great tree, but that little branch. There's a shoot coming out. Something insignificant. Something you wouldn't even notice. Here he is, born a poor child under poor circumstances, what our larger catechism says of more than ordinary abasement. He's chased all over the world before he can walk. How more insignificant does it get? And so it is in that sense that he is a Nazarene. He is small and despised. All right, thus ends the reading of Matthew chapter 2. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.